Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker and Steve. Steve Jordahl in with us. Steve took the place of Fred, who went, they tag team at 11 o'clock Central Time. You're listening to American Family Radio tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. We are having our share-a-thon here at American Family Radio. Twice a year for 3 days, we're going to do all our shows like we normally do, but we will be talking about our financial needs here at American Family Radio. We're listener-supported Christian radio, so we have to have folks make donations, or we're not on the air. It's just as simple as that. So please pray with us about that, and please participate and be as generous as you can to help us here at American Family Radio, because we cost a lot of money to. What am I hearing?
Steve's phone.
I'm hearing voices in my head.
I'm trying to do some last minute checking on a pronunciation as we go.
Okay, well, never mind that I'm talking about Share-a-thon.
No, that's more important.
Well,
much more important. I thought I had turned it all the way down and was muting myself, but apparently I
didn't. Hearing things coming from your cell phone. Okay,
I am so sorry.
That's okay. I forgive you because it's Christian to forgive you. but we'll talk later. American Family Radio, so we need your financial support. We need your prayer support all the way around. We are making a difference across this country. You know that if you listen to AFR. And so we appreciate your prayers for us. But in the morning, starting at 6 o'clock, I think, in the morning, Central Time, we're going to be in full share-a-thon mode. Tim with Ed and Walker. And Walker, what are we doing on our Mark Zuckerberg page?
Well, as you know, we're live streaming, so we have some people watching there, some folks commenting on the show. And I posted a Fox News article about President Trump daring, quote,
Crooked Hillary.
Crooked Hillary to run for our president again in 2020. And then I posted a One News Now article about Bo Bergdahl being in court today.
Okay.
And a few other articles.
Today's Issues Facebook page. Check it out. Steve Jordahl is with us. Let me say one thing about the sports world. I know you're a professional sports guy, aren't you, Steve?
A professional sports guy? No, I've never played.
But
nor
you like
have
the
I
Oakland
ever...
Raiders.
I do.
In other words, he's asking, do you prefer
college
the NFL?
Oh,
the,
yes. Yeah. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Are you a
yes.
pros or...
I'm more of a professional sports fan than a college sports fan, only because I went to San Jose State, which never has done anything, well, or since, or before. And the other being that last 15 or so years before here, I lived in Colorado Springs, so I'm an Air Force Academy fan. But again, it's not like if you're in the SEC, that makes everything else look a little bit silly. So,
well, we got some great college football games coming up in the near future.
That's right.
If you want a little escapism. From the
not
real
that there's
world.
Anything that we need to escape from.
No,
everything's just coming up roses.
Well, you got Ed's school.
Notre Dame
plays USC this weekend.
That's
a
right.
Big one.
That's number 13 against number 11.
Yeah, that's a playoff game basically.
Yep.
Is what it is. So the Fighting Irish. I've told this joke many times before. So if you've heard it, please act like you haven't. And this is not a joke. It was a real situation in New Jersey. I remember reading about this. There was a guy went in, he's a Notre Dame fan, went into a tattoo parlor to get his Fighting Irish
tattoo.
So he got the leprechaun, you know.
Yeah.
Notre Dame. And then on the top it said, you're supposed to say Fighting Irish. Fighting Irish. Well, he got through with the tattoo, and the tattoo artist had left the T out of fighting. So you got a tattoo on your arm, says Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
And the guy, I don't know. What do you say in a moment like that? Would be my that was my question.
If I have no regrets.
No regrets.
I got to high five you, Steve, on that one. That was
It's a Snickers commercial, but still, yeah, very good.
I did not. Oh, is that right? That wasn't original?
Yeah, no regrets. Is that what you got it from?
Yeah, well,
yeah. Well, it's still good, Steve. Yeah. Still good, just right off the cuff. But anyway, Fine Irish tattoo. Like I said, I don't know what you do in a moment like that. How do you apologize? You say next one's on me.
Yeah, yeah. You don't ever want to hear a tattoo artist go, "Oops."
Right. Just like to do. You know, if they mess up your meal at the restaurant, they say we're going to give you that meal free. You know, yeah. Maybe they say, "Sir, you don't have to pay for the tattoo. It's on us. It's on the house. Don't worry about it."
So what happened? Fying Irish?
Fying Irish. Some guy's walking around today, if he's still alive, with a leprechaun on his arm. Big leprechaun that says Fine Irish.
Yeah.
F-I-G-H-I-N-G. I don't know why that's important to what we're discussing. Talking college football.
Yeah.
And then you got you probably got Georgia and Alabama going to play in the SEC championship game. Everything holds true. Both of them undefeated. Now, they got a long way to go, but still looks like they're headed for that. So, anyway. If you like college football, it's a great time.
Good time to be alive.
Great time of year right now. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Now, back to depressing news, we go to Steve Dordal. Steve.
I wanted to...
Give us something uplifting, Steve.
Oh, shoot. I got to go back to my office and see if there's anything uplifting in the world. No. I just wanted to mention, because it's personal to me, so forgive me for this, but the island of Madagascar is facing a horrific outbreak of the plague, the pneumonic plague, which is, according to reports, worse than the bubonic plague because it is transmitted by air. You can be around someone, and if they sneeze or whatever, yes. This is the bubonic plague, you had to be bitten by a flea or somehow like that, but this one is...
Did you used to travel there or something?
I actually grew up there as a missionary kid.
Yeah.
So it is a very poor country, but they're having quite a bad time of it right now. And so my thoughts and prayers are to the people of Madagascar right now. So
how does that spread?
Well, it's spread through the air and touch, and so including all the regular bodily fluids and that kind of stuff. You can also catch it. Just by being around someone, because of if they sneeze or whatever, this is an airborne, can be transmitted.
Sounds
by
like
airborne.
Ebola.
It is. It is a lot like Ebola.
Is this plague? Is it viral or bacterial or what? What's
it is? It is bacterial in that if they get the right kind of antibiotic, you can arrest this thing and stop it in most cases. But this is a particularly virulent form of pneumonic plague, and it's a very poor country. They don't have a whole lot of this in stock, this antibiotic in stock. So, and it's a third world country, so getting to the place where you need to...
It's a little island off the east coast of Africa, right?
Big island off the east coast of Africa, the fourth largest island in the world.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's in my thoughts and prayers today because of my attachment to that island. In other news, I wanted to I don't want to talk about the Harvey Weinstein thing until the cows come home because it's just gross, and don't want to give any of that any publicity. But I did want to say a couple last things about it. Number one, we have found out that the Clinton Foundation is not going to give back any of the $250,000 it got from Harvey Weinstein. Because they say they spent it all. And then there's a little tidbit that I found a little revealing. Did you know that Harvey Weinstein gave $100,000 to Rutgers University to support their school's Gloria Steinem Chair in Medium Culture and Feminism Studies?
Gloria Steinem?
Yeah, they have a chair. They have a chair endowed there. At Rutgers, and it is the Gloria Steinem Chair in Media, Culture, and Feminism Studies.
Wow.
Well, Harvey Weinstein gave $100,000 to that particular effort, and
you're saying this is in a very negative way. This is irony.
Well, it's irony, or is
he really support women if he's
it's maybe
allegedly
a
sexual monster.
Maybe what is it called when you actually support something you oppose just to make you feel less guilty?
I don't know. Is there a name for that?
I don't know. Well, let's make one up. Rutgers is not going to give that money back either, by the way.
Well, you know what? How far back do you go where you have to give money back for somebody else's sins who gave you a donation? I don't know if that's, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's a legitimate question.
Really? I mean, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, how much did you, if a guy gave money to the, now I think it's enough to say that the Clintons and were willing to take his money. Because evidently this guy had a reputation that preceded him, and everybody knew about it inside the industry. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Of being a someone who you could say abused women, I guess you could say.
Predatory behavior.
Predatory behavior. Been fired. Yeah. It seemed like this. Everybody knew about this. Stories I'm reading. Yep. I don't see how. And for this is another thing about Hillary Clinton being unhinged. She's sitting there saying that she was saying that President Trump is the same as Harvey Weinstein in terms of his behavior, right?
She did say that, yeah.
And then when you talk about Bill Clinton's predatory behavior, which is well established and well known, she says that doesn't count.
It's in the past. It's old.
It's in
history.
The past. Right? My husband's not like that. So I guess she's.
You know, there is a statute of limitations in her mind, anyway.
Well, I guess the old saying, "Denial's just not a river in Egypt."
Yeah.
You know, I think that applies to Hillary Clinton here.
Along those same lines, President Trump's campaign has been subpoenaed by Gloria Allred, who is the woman who usually often represents the women who is a lawyer who often represents the women who are charging that they have been abused. She's behind the women that are charging Bill Cosby with his offenses. Right. So
she's been doing this kind of thing for decades.
This is where she goes. And,
right.
And these women do need good representation. I'm not saying that. But she is subpoenaing the Trump administration now over the allegations that President Trump, via the Billy Bush tape type things, remember the one he talked about groping women? She's going after that. And I thought it was interesting.
For what?
Well,
for,
to see if there's
the Harvey Weinstein case.
No, in she's accusing what Hillary Clinton was doing, which is accusing President Trump of being Harvey Weinstein, basically. So
she's utilizing on the timing of the Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, but I mean, has anybody accused President Trump?
Oh yes, several people have, and they came out basically when he was elected, as soon as he got elected, and there's questions about.
Now, hold on just a minute. They've accused him. There's somebody on the record that has accused President Trump of what? Because everybody knows he was a playboy. Okay, for several decades, he was a New York billionaire, tycoon, playboy, and everybody knows that about President Trump's past. So
the subpoena specifically names 10 women. And request documentation associated with them or any woman alleging Donald J. Trump touched her inappropriately.
This goes back to, if y'all remember, the New York Times, either right before he was inaugurated or right after, the New York Times just spent weeks digging through past relationships. They came up with a couple. Some of those were debunked. So this is...
And remember, he ran a beauty contest and everything. So but this is what I find interesting. I'm very careful of how I want to say this because there is nothing at all light about the accusations that a woman makes if she makes that she has been abused. They're serious allegations. Now, saying that, if someone falsely makes those allegations, the repercussions to her should be just as serious. But I don't take that lightly. But I do question. NBC, whose article I have in front of me relating to this, I do question their motives because after they go through this whole article laying out the case, their alleged case against President Trump for all these abuses, the last paragraph says representatives for the White House, the Trump Organization, the president's personal lawyer did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Trump, meanwhile, was golfing Sunday with Senator Rand Paul.
So,
right.
What?
Well, they're trying to say
that he doesn't care.
That's exactly what they're
saying. Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
It's the little thing.
This is the problem that the media, they've created their own problem. Let's just say that there are legitimate examples of sexual harassment, blah, 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 from President Trump maybe a year or two ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago. No, the American people aren't going to listen to these news reports because every day they're crying wolf
that
the world's going to end because President Trump's in office. So when they do have maybe a legitimate case, nobody listens to them.
I think these claims go years and years back.
They
right?
do. They go.
It's not anything in the, you mentioned. I just want to clarify, Walker.
But the sharks are in the water.
Yeah,
but you know what? Because of the Weinstein thing.
It's the Weinstein thing. And thing about it is, and I don't know, I haven't read the story you're citing here, but with the Weinstein, I mean, it was like 30 or more women who say the same exact thing. It's kind of like what happened with Bill Cosby.
Right.
He drugged me, gave me drugs, put something in my drink. Remember that story? That was over and over and over and
yeah,
over
although,
and over
although
again.
Although we should mention that his case, the at least his first trial, Bill Cosby's, ended in a hung jury, didn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether these women will continue to press.
Okay,
so
I should say alleged.
Yeah.
I should say alleged.
The one other little tidbit that you have to say when you talk about the Trump being subpoenaed, there is a fence that has been built, that is built around the president of the United States.
Whoever he is.
Any president. Legally, they right. cannot be charged with a, let's use the word secular as opposed to presidential actions, crime, while they're in office. While the president is in office, he is not subject to being charged for a criminal activity. I suppose if he murdered somebody, that would be different.
But now, on the other hand, it could be used just to try to smear him so he doesn't get
no
reelected.
No doubt will be.
Right.
Can I also, just to the last comment on this, Mayim Bialik, who is the one of the stars of The Big Bang Theory, if anybody watches that, she plays the geeky girlfriend, now fiance, I guess, of the lead character, Sheldon. And she is known in the Hollywood for being, she's Orthodox Jew. She's very conservative in her outlook and in her dress. And she wrote an interesting column in the New York Times. And in this column, she described how she grew up. Her mom wanted her to watch out. She started at 11 in Hollywood playing the character Blossom, if anybody remembers that show. And she said that her first generation American parents were highly skeptical of the industry in general. This business will use you up and throw you away like a snotty tissue, is what her folks said. And then of its men in particular, they only want one thing. And then so she played in Hollywood and was an actor in Hollywood until she got to college age, in which time she quit acting and went to UCLA, where she got a doctorate in neurobiology. A very smart woman. And she said, I eventually left the business when I was 19 because I craved being around people who valued me more for what was inside my brain than what was inside my bra, is how she described Hollywood.
Then I don't think you're allowed to say that on AFR.
Her undergarment. Then she went on to say, as a proud feminist with little desire to diet, plastic surgery, or hire a personal trainer, I have almost no personal experience with men asking me to meetings in the hotel room. I still make choices every day as a 41-year-old actress, and I think of self-protecting and wise. I have decided that my sexual self is best reserved for private situations with those I am most intimate with. I dress modestly. I don't act flirtatiously with men as a policy.
You know what?
She's 41 years old?
She is. Why? Does that surprise you?
Well,
everybody turns 41
Big Bang,
eventually.
But, I mean, isn't Big Bang Theory about, like, 20-somethings?
Well, Hollywood has a way of...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She can play a 30-year-old.
All right. All right.
So I thought she's really taking a lot of heat from this, saying that she's blaming the victims. Nowhere in here does she say it. In fact, she says that there's no excuse for his crimes. But she says, I plan to continue to work hard to encourage young women to cultivate the parts of themselves that may not garner them money and fame. If you are beautiful and sexy, terrific. But having others celebrate your physical beauty is not the way to lead a meaningful life. And if, like me, you're not a perfect 10, know that there are people out there who will find you stunning, irresistible, and worthy of attention, respect, and love. The best part is you don't have to go to a hotel room or a casting couch to find them. I think they're great words by
Mayim
Bialik.
Yeah, maybe this will make Hollywood rethink the sexually explicit movies they're putting out every day.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about this last week. What I found ironic, for lack of a better word, was the Hollywood and entertainment industry was celebrating the life of Hugh Hefner when he died.
Yeah.
What, about 10 days ago?
Yeah.
He died, Hugh Hefner, 90-something years old. He died, you know, the king of hedonism. Objectified, he made millions and millions of dollars by objectifying women sexually. And they were all lauding him. Hollywood tweet, everybody was tweeting, what a great Hef. He was a great man and everything like this. And then we get 10 days later, we got Harvey Weinstein, who acts out on those that objectification. What's really the difference in the worldview between Hugh Hefner and Harvey Weinstein? You know what I'm saying? In terms of the ideology, that is that women are sexual objects,
right?
And they're there for men's pleasure. I mean, that wasn't what the Playboy lifestyle was all about.
Yeah.
So, you know what this proves is, though. This I think to the Bible now, and the Bible warns against immorality.
Yeah,
and it warned to this young lady's. Well, she's 41. Maybe she's not a young lady anymore.
She's a lady though.
Yes, but nobody. If you rape or sexually harass or sexually abuse a woman, you're personally responsible for that crime, if it's a crime, or certainly that inappropriate behavior if it doesn't rise to a criminal standard. But at the same time, if women are going to dress like, I don't want to use an inappropriate word here. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Inappropriately
or provocatively, and so much of the entertainment industry in Hollywood is built on sex by the female stars, and then everybody celebrates that. And if you criticize it in any way, you're a prude.
Right.
Think of how they treated Mike Pence when he talked about his rules for not going out to dinner.
Yeah. They mocked him and ridiculed him.
They mock and ridicule Christians especially.
Well, the immodest dress goes to what you were just talking about too, and that is women are participating in their own objectification.
Right.
Now, again, nobody's saying it's right, and you've said this, nobody's saying it's right to harass or abuse or do any of these things, acting out. But if you are contributing to society's viewing you as just a sex object, you are contributing to an atmosphere that degrades women.
This is how Mayim Bialik states it. In a perfect world, women should be free to act however they want. But our world isn't perfect. Nothing, absolutely nothing, excuses men for assaulting or abusing women, but we can't be naive about the culture we live in.
This goes back to the breakdown of the family.
Right.
You need dads who are protecting their daughters. Daughters who end up becoming 40-somethings, actresses, you know, it goes back to the family structure.
It's like a woman, you know, wearing a dress way too short, you know, for example, or exposing cleavage, you know, for the world to see. And then they want to say, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
You know, how dare you look at me?
Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying men should be looking at her. Right. I'm just saying, that's the reason you wore that.
And that goes to what this woman was saying.
Yeah.
Bialik. Is she saying we can't be naive? I mean, human beings like human beings, and you can't pretend otherwise.
And if you put yourself out there as, hey, look at my body or look at me in a sexual way, and then you get people who don't have moral restraints.
Right.
You know, and we got a world full of them, then that's a bad combination right there.
Yeah.
Anyway. Walker, to your point, we as Christian men need to raise, and Christian mothers need to raise our daughters
and sons
to be modest, as the Bible says, and our sons to respect young ladies.
Exactly.
Thank you, Steve Jordahl.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Ed, appreciate your contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Tim.
Such that it was. And I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, folks. Listen, I love the back and
forth. All right. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio. Share-a-thon starts in the morning.